Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome everyone, and it's Anne-Marie Khoury here. I'm your presenter in the studio today, and I have an exciting guest for the program today. She is the General Manager of Policy and Development at the Blind Foundation, and she's the coordinator and leader of the Access Alliance campaign. And this is a most exciting initiative which is going to change the face of inclusion for all New Zealanders in terms of how they live their lives. So I'm delighted to introduce and invite into the program Diane Rogers.
Thanks very much, Anne-Marie. It's a great pleasure to be part of your program today and have the opportunity to talk to your audience about why access matters in New Zealand and what we're doing to change the way things are at the moment through a very unique campaign that is to put accessibility at the heart of a more inclusive New Zealand.
Thank you very much, Diane. And actually, this is very much dear to the hearts of people in Grey Power, partly because one of the key initiatives within the whole age-friendly movement is to make sure that people can get about, people can get access into buildings, people can get access to good information and communication, people can participate in society fully, and they're supported in their ageing in the workplace. So all of those objectives that are part of the Age Friendly City movement can be achieved by this legislation, and that's why I'm so excited about your campaign.
Yes, thank you very much, Anne-Marie. Yes, it's for everyone, but particularly for our older citizens in New Zealand. We're all at some stage, we're growing older every day, and we've got a very important group of people over 65 that are making and want to make, continue to make great contributions to New Zealand, but there's still too many barriers. And you've cited some of them, just being able to catch public transport that's accessible, being able to use, everything's now pushed to digital, actually being able to access a website that's not set up to bar you if you've got low vision. All the way through to attitudes, even the attitudes towards ageing and is something that we think needs to change. So employment, people over 65 want to work on, and they're great. We need to realise more potential from the ageing workforce. So the idea behind this this accessibility legislation that we want to see for New Zealand is something that is a bit of a game changer. It should create the conditions for more older people and many other groups, including those with disabilities, young and old alike, people non-English speaking, even those that have a temporary injury. Imagine somebody with that's had an accident. All of a sudden they can't do the things they could do, but they're going to recover. But there's more and more people now that are finding difficulties in just getting around. So be that physical barriers or information barriers or barriers to do with the way that products and services are designed. It's not designed in a way that enables people to use them. And so, you know, a lot of folks are feeling excluded. A lot of folks are feeling incredibly frustrated. And so what we want to do is, through a campaign that we've been running since really 2016, is to get the parliamentary parties and the government parties in office at the moment to get to a decision day to agree that it's time for a law like they've got, laws that they've got in other countries that we don't have here in New Zealand, a law that sets out what's required to become accessible over time so that we don't exclude people anymore, irrespective of age or whatever.
Thank you, Diane. So well said. And indeed, we can have a wellbeing budget. We can have money devolved for programs and change to be a more inclusive society. But if we don't have legislation that has teeth to enforce change in some initiatives and in some areas, particularly like access, then we cannot really bring about the quality of well-being for New Zealanders that, say, this recent budget is aimed at doing.
Absolutely. I mean, we applaud the well-being budget as a step change, but it only goes so far. We think there's a bigger well-being dividend if the government was to make a decision to introduce accessibility legislation and get that passed before the next election. That would be such a dividend, because that's a kind of realisation of the hopes and dreams of many people that, as I said, that have felt excluded for a long time. Sadly, New Zealand's about 35 years behind the rest of the world. We rely on, we rely on external trade and exchange, but people are barred for at the moment from really getting to see the country in the way that we want because of accessibility barriers. And so the idea behind this is it's not a complex piece of law. It's quite a straightforward piece of law that sets out what the principles should be for an accessible, fully accessible, inclusive New Zealand. And then it sets out a mechanism over time to get standards that become mandatory and enforceable to help organisations know what they can do, what's the right thing to do, to make sure they make the right investments. They don't waste money in thinking they're doing accessibility only to find out that it's not right, because we don't even have the, in some ways, the market for how to do this, unlike they've got in North America and Australia and Europe. And so we think it's time for New Zealand to have a piece of legislation on the law books that basically helps to set that out, and work with all the different groups, business, seniors, all the different groups, disabled people, to actually figure out what's in the bill and then how we develop the standards. That will help central and local government to make sure that when they spend money on services or systems for citizens, ratepayers, that they can do the right thing. They know what to do. They're not wasting money on perhaps they think they've done the right thing, but they haven't designed it properly. And we've seen so many examples of poor design and people trying to do the right thing, organisations trying to do the right thing, but it isn't, because we don't have some proper rules, standards around all of this. And that's the problem. So it's something that we need to start. And so what we're asking for is that it's time to get on and make a decision to do this work. And you start with having something on the books that says, look, this is our vision, this is what we plan to do, and this is how we plan to do it over time and with these different groups. And so we're not asking for the world, we're asking for a small step that only government and parliamentarians can do. That is, help us have a law that sets out what we've got to do and how we'll do it over time to make the country the sort of country that we want, where people can learn, get a job, continue to participate in community and social life like we all want to, irrespective of our age or our circumstances.
Oh, thank you very much, Diane, for that, because in that condensed presentation that you've given us, you've touched on all the reasons, all the questions I was going to ask you, like why do we need this legislation and what will the legislation do for us and so on and so forth and who's going to be involved. I think you've answered those questions really well. But what the listeners might be interested in knowing is the extent to which people are being excluded currently, just in terms of general numbers in the population, because sometimes people who are able-bodied often have very little idea what it's really like to get around if you have a wheelchair and find that the particular law firm you want to visit are in the PricewaterhouseCooper Tower, where access to the tower is via the second floor and you have to go on an escalator. And if you're in a wheelchair, you're out of luck. Just simple getting around and getting access in and out of buildings and railway stations and so on can be quite a hurdle for a lot of people. And then, of course, there are people who have car accidents and get around on crutches for a period and find that really, really frustrating and very, very difficult. And I've been in a moon boot twice. I've been on crutches twice. And each time, you know, the frustration has peaked and I've experienced a certain amount of anxiety and even depression at times because of a lack of control and being able to do things in my life. So and that's just minor and temporary interruptions. What it must be like if you live with that 24/7 and it's a lifetime thing, it must be just horrendous. So I can see the need for all of this, but I'm just not sure that people might understand just how many people are affected. So I heard recently a figure of 24% of New Zealanders are actually at any one point in time, either temporarily or permanently, needing accessible environments in order to live their lives. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Anne-Marie, it's one in four Kiwis, actually, that are prevented from participating in everyday life. And that's a big chunk of New Zealand that's touched directly by this issue around barriers. Mm. That, you know, at any time, you know, we can all be in those shoes because we've either got a disability, or as a colleague of mine in Canada says, you might be waiting to have a disability. And unfortunately, a disability can mean then access needs. Mm. And if you're caring for a loved one who has, just think about an older person, and wanting to enable them to, you know, live the life they choose, go and shop and do the things that they've always done. They've had a, you know, I can imagine somebody who's had a stroke or has had a medical condition. You know, the family want to do the best to give their older relative the, you know, some enjoyment and hope and joy in life. But just getting out and about in a wheelchair is one issue, and then that's not easy. But then there's all the invisible disabilities, you know, people's attitudes to, you know, they don't even know somebody's got a disability. And most folks aren't that keen to talk about it either. There's what you might see physically, and the general view is that that's people in a wheelchair. But there's also folks that have a whole bunch of other issues. I mean, think about my own area of vision loss. Mm. You know, you can look as if you're not blind, but be fully blind, believe me. And people find constantly being told, oh, you're not blind. I mean, it's amazing the attitudes that people have. And yet they're using a white cane, or they might, you know, they've learned how to navigate. But for that person to use a website, you know, everything now is digital. You know, we often do a lot of e-purchases. You know, it's all electronic and all the rest of it. You know, for some people, they can't even make a electronic FPOS transaction safely if they're blind because of the way the equipment's set up. But in Europe and other parts of the world, this has been solved, but here it's not. Mm. So what we're looking for is, over time, this new piece of legislation, which is yet to be committed to, we're saying to government, come on, the clock's on. People have waited too long. Please do the right thing. And also an amazing cross-party group that's working with us, led by Podo Williams, the Assistant Speaker of the House, Christchurch MP, Labor, and Dr. Shane Retty from the National Party, who's a disability issues spokesperson. They're working with the Access Alliance to try to move this forward. But we know that one in four New Zealanders at the moment are barred, and every day struggle to get access, like perhaps they should. They shouldn't be barred. They should be having full access like everyone else. And that's because of poor design, lack of planning, or just not understanding how important this is.
Thank you again, because you've also highlighted for me the fact that it's not only just the one in four, but the fact we've got this rapidly growing ageing population. And by 2035, one in four New Zealanders will be over 65. So that automatically will increase the number of people who have needs for various forms of assistance with access because of their ageing. And because just as we have one in four over 65, we will have a huge increase in the numbers over 80 and over 90. So some will age extremely well and be very fit and active and running marathons at 80, but others will not. And it's really recognising the impact of this growing ageing population that's so important, because we can't wait till 2035 and think, oh, we'll bring legislation in then. We actually have to be doing it now, so people are getting ready, getting prepared, and the valuable people – that have got so many years, wisdom and skills and experience are not lost to the workplace, because the workplace actually accommodates them and their needs. Is that your view?
That's absolutely right. Like, we need to start transforming our system so that access is there. And that can take a while. But you start with setting out a very basic set of understandings around what that could look like for New Zealand, who needs to be involved, and that's what we're calling this piece of primary legislation that sets out what accessibility and inclusion should be for New Zealand, and how we're going to make a very active plan through a piece of law on how to do that, like they've done in other countries, and so that we can catch up, so that we're not left in 2035 with the big age boom really sort of fully flowering, the flower of ageing. We've also still got one in four Kiwis with disabilities, and then we've got a country that's not prepared, and we're regretting the fact that we didn't take that step now to setting a course of action that's going to make the country more accessible, inclusive for everyone. It's actually going to be an economy also that's growing through accessibility. One of the big opportunities that's there, if you're just talking about the economy side, is tourism.
Indeed.
A market worth about $3 trillion. It's massive numbers in terms of tourism for disabled people internationally. Many folks aren't even coming to New Zealand, because even to make a booking on websites, you can't if you've got an access need, a print disability need, and yet you want to travel and spend money and do even finding accommodation to stay at. Not easy. Even travel packages, not easy. And so there's all of that. The other side of it is our exporting products and services into the international market. There's more and more demand now for accessible products and services from countries around the world. There's 88 million people with disabilities in Europe, for instance. So, you know, we haven't even put this issue on the radar in terms of trade and enterprise and opportunities. But then think of our own people. Not just those that are coming to visit or we're selling products into other markets. The fundamental thing is we believe this is the right thing to do, that it's just not good enough to, in a wonderful place like New Zealand, to have people barred from, you know, living their life the way they choose and from being able to contribute. And, our seniors community is a massive group of New Zealanders that have contributed, built the economy up, done, you know, got us to where we are now. And many want to continue on contributing, but find it just too difficult. You know, it's not like issues around our housing, our transport, our ability to get to and from, and then even getting hold of products and services that are, that meet our needs as we age, particularly around access. Think about opening things, getting into shops and getting into theatres and just being able to get around and about. And, you know, there's some great incentives. The gold card's fantastic. But, you know, then the next piece is, okay, where can you go to get into a place that's accessible, you know?
Indeed. And that would lead to some additions to the latest changes in the budget around the gold card, the new apps they're talking about who's giving discounts. That app could be added to who's providing accessibility. And
yeah,
I think that's a very important issue to take up with the Minister for Seniors, which she is visiting our Auckland Grey Power on the 29th of June. She's speaking at 2 o'clock at the Blockhouse Bay Community Centre, just by the roundabout. So I know there are people who are lining up to come to that meeting. They want to have a conversation with her when she finishes her presentation. There will be plenty of opportunity to ask questions. I think that's a really important area. If the government's investing in that app, that the app actually allows accessibility information as well as discounts to be incorporated in it. So let's watch the space. But right now, I'd like to switch to a music break, and because I think this is a good time in the program for us to sort of wind down and just tune into the music. And this is a track called Good Together, and it's from the 10th anniversary edition of Together in Concert, a live concert with Tim Finn, Bic Runga and Dave Dobbin. And this is a track from Tim Finn, so enjoy.
good together, yeah, we're good together, always good together, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're good together, good together, yeah, good together, always good, 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 good.
Welcome back, everyone who's listening, and this is the program on accessibility and the Access Alliance push to get legislation for accessibility to support and develop a more inclusive New Zealand. So, well, I'm talking with Diane Rogers, and Diane, in your passion that you've had, where you've held a candle for this kaupapa and this issue since 2013. You're pushing hard now, along with the two politicians in Parliament who are leading this alliance initiative. How do you see the not-for-profit sector, groups like Grey Power, like Age Concern, some are political and in terms of lobbying and advocacy, others are more social service orientated, but how do you see the not-for-profit sector responding as stakeholders in the push to change to get the legislation?
Oh, thanks, Anne-Marie. I've had overwhelming support from the not-for-profit sector. Like, this whole initiative's been driven with support of the Blind Foundation initially, and then we've built that out into a 11-member organisation called the Access Alliance as a collective. But what I also have is we've been able to reach out to seniors organisations, Grey Power, Age Concern, a number of older persons, councils, advisory groups to local government, Carers Association, Carers Alliance. We're reaching out to a whole swathe of groups. And the feedback's been very positive, but what we need right now is we need literally hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders to at least sign on to our website to say we believe that New Zealand should be the most accessible country in the world. It's time to really live the classless and fair society, and it's not good enough that some folks in our community are excluded through no fault of their own, just because of either attitudes or physical barriers or other types of barriers around access. So our ageing population is a significant voice and is well regarded, and so we actually want to find a way to reach out and encourage older New Zealanders to become active in this campaign right now, particularly with our politicians, because there's no time like right now. We're at a very important stage in the parliamentary cycle, and we need to hear the voice of seniors saying that access is an important issue. It's the enabler for everything in life. Without access, you can't do things. And so that's really what we're looking for. We've got a vision where people can live independently and participate in all areas of life with dignity. That's really what we see as a fully accessible New Zealand. And it starts with a commitment to making a decision to get a law on the books that sets up what the conditions for the future should be.
Wow.
So please support us, Grey Power,
indeed,
members, friends, family, of all ages. It's about all generations, this. It's about the future of the country and what's right for this beautiful country that we all get to live in. We can make it even better. We can make well-being even bigger. It's time.
It's time. Yes, it is indeed. And we shouldn't delay at all. And there are many ideas that have been going through my head as I've been listening to you speak, thinking, yes, well, Grey Power could do this, Grey Power could do that. There's scope, of course, on our Facebook page to promote the actions that you were talking about, getting people actually just phoning up their MPs and telling them, you know, it's time. We need this now. We don't
exactly
want more delays. And also those people who are convinced by the wellbeing budget as this is the direction they want the country to go in, need to realise that, you know, what underpins wellbeing is access. If you haven't got access, you can't move towards wellbeing. So we really have to make this part of the strategy that they have.
It's a combination of things, Anne-Marie, exactly. Mm. Could I just give a plug? So we've got a website. It's called Access Alliance, Access, A-C-C-E-S-S, Alliance, all one word, .org.nz. If any of your listeners would like to learn more about the Access Alliance and the Access Matters campaign around legislation to make the country accessible, please have a look at that website. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we're at Access for All NZ is our Twitter handle, if you'd like to learn more about the campaign.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Of course, we will put this on the Planet FM website, and we'll also put it onto our own Facebook page, and the I'll talk to the Federation about having it on their website. So thank you for coming to the party and being part of the program. It's been great to have you, Diane. I've been very enthusiastic all the way through this interview. It's been one of the most rewarding interviews I've done for a while, and I really hope to have you back in the studio, perhaps even with one of the politicians involved, and we'll track the progress in due course. So on that note, I just want to say to our members and our supporters, we have our AGM on the 29th of June at Blockhouse Bay at number 524 Blockhouse Bay Road in the community centre, and you're all welcome if you're a member to vote for our committee at 1 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock we've got the Honourable Tracy Martin, the Minister for Seniors. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/seniorfocus. And do note, Senior Focus is